All right. Now we're holding the top of page Bays in Yevamos Oseh. And by the way, a correction. Yesterday at the end, when we learned about Rabbi Yeshua, where they asked him who the halacha is like between Bishama and Bishilul on this, and he said, I don't want to say because they'll crush my skull, but then he says about the people who actually served as Kohanim Gadolim. So I'd said it a bit wrongly yesterday. What the Gemara says is there's two questions. One, whether if such a woman marries, according to Beis Shammai, does Yibum, according to Beis Shammai, where according to Beis Hillel, it's an Issur Karis, are the children Mamzerim? And on that, he says, I don't want to get involved. Then you have the second question, what if the other way around? What if she went and got married without Beis Shammai would hold she needs Chalitza or Yibum, and she goes and gets married without that, where it's an Issur Lav? Would Beis Shammai consider that they're not going to consider the children Mamzerim because it's only an Issur Lav, but would they consider them Pogum? Would they consider that there's a defect in their Yichus? And Rabbi Yeshua says, that I can tell you, Beis Shammai would say that that we wouldn't consider them to be Pogum, and therefore Beis Shammai would be fine, were fine with them being appointed Kohanim Gadolim. Although some Mefarshim actually learned differently that Beis Shammai would object to that, but still, at least as far as that, where it's only a matter of pagam, not a matter of mamzerus, then Rabbi Yeshua is more willing to say his actual opinion. Okay, so the Gemara continues, top of page Beis. In the times of Rabbi Dosa ben Hokinas, there was a rumor going around that he had been matir tzoras habas to marry the brother. So again, with the scenario that we talked about yesterday, you have, say, for example, Reuven has a daughter who's married to his brother, has a daughter, Sarah, who's married to his brother, Shimon. Shimon is also married to an unrelated woman named Rivka. If Shimon dies without children, then according to Beis Shammai, Reuven should be doing Yibum with Rivka because she's not biologically related to him. Whereas Beis Hillel would say that since she's the tzara of his daughter, then therefore he shouldn't, and it would be an Isser Erev too. So now, up until that, so the Gemara has been discussing the last couple of blah, the question of whether Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion in practice. So now the Gemara is bringing a proof that they did because, as the Gemara says over here, that now when they heard that they're being matir, the Chachamim found that very difficult because people now are going to start doing that more. Up until now, it was generally accepted that fine, Beis Shammai has their opinion and they're entitled to follow it, but most people are following Beis Hillel because, after all, as we learned yesterday, Beis Hillel is the Roi. Now, when it's going around that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinas was matir, many more people are going to follow Beis Shammai. So people are actually doing it in practice. So the Chachamim found that to be a very difficult situation. And the problem is, now normally they would say, okay, so the next time he comes to the Beis Medrash, we'll discuss it with him. The problem is, on the one hand, he's a great Talmud Chacham, so people are going to follow him, but Vizokin, but he's old, Ve'enav Kehos, so Komu Milovi Beis Medrash. His eyes are dim, and therefore he's not able to see anymore, therefore he's not able to come to the Beis Medrash. So they can't wait until he comes, and then they'll talk it out with him. They have to. They're gonna have to get this straightened out.
Who is this? I'm sorry, I missed it.
This is Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinas, one of the senior. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinas. We have his name in Pirkei Avos. He comes up here and there in class.
Test.
And we're page Beis in Yevamos.
I'm in Yevamos already.
Yeah, you're in Yevamos already. So yeah, same. So the problem is again that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinas is an old and respected Talmud Chacham, and people are going to end up following him. So the Chachamim said among themselves, "Mi yelech v'yodi'ehu." Who is going to go and inform him that this is a problem? That if he's going to be matirit, then many people are going to end up following him. Amar lahem Rabbi Yeshua, "Ani yelech." So Rabbi Yeshua says that I'll go. I'll be the leader of the delegation. Rabbi Yeshua was among the three Chachamim who we're going to describe over here in the story. He was the most senior one of them, and he was the Av Beis Din. So therefore, he's going to lead the delegation.
And if I may ask, what is he going to refine the what?
They're going to go discuss this point with Rabbi Yosef ben Hyrkinas that he was matir tzoras habas.
He was matir.
Okay, it's hard to repeat the same thing over when I just said it before. But briefly, there's a case involving Yibum where Beis Shammai holds that Yibum or Chalitza has to be done, and Beis Hillel holds not only it doesn't have to be done, but it would be a matter of Erva, it would be a matter of Arayas to do it. And now there are now rumors were going around that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinas had paskin like Beis Shammai, which the Chachamim found very difficult.
That is mutter.
That it's mutter, and that in fact it should be done, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So Amar lahem Rabbi Yeshua ani elach. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll go. Okay, the Achra of me, who's going to follow him, that would be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Because he's the Nasi at that point. We know the famous story in Brachas that Rabbi Gamliel had been the Nasi, and then he was deposed and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed instead. So now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Nasi. Normally the Nasi would go ahead of the Avesin, but here Rabbi Yeshua, being far senior to Rabbi Noah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed at only 18 years old. Rabbi Yeshua already was, and this was a few years after the Churban. At the time of the Churban, Rabbi Elazar was a boy. Rabbi Yeshua was already a mature adult. We find him, we know that he was one of the two Talmidim who carried Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai out of besieged Yerushalayim. He had actually served in the Mishmikdash as one of the Levim. So he was a lot older than Rabbi Elazar. So therefore, say he's going first. So the Achra of Mian, who's going to be third in the line? Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So they went and stood by the entrance of his house, waiting for somebody to tell Rab Dosa that they're there. So Rab Dosa's maidservant came in to where he was sitting inside. She says, Rebbe, there are chachamim, there are Jewish chachamim who've come to visit you. So he says, okay, you can't sue, let him come in, let him in. So they came in. Now, Rab Dosa could already recognize Rabbi Yeshua because he had known Rabbi Yeshua for years before that. Again, Rabbi Yeshua was already a mature Talmud Chacham at that point, and he had been in the Beis Medrash for a long time. So back when Rab Dosa used to regularly come before he lost his eyesight, he already knew Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe now the idea is, even though we're saying Ein of Komu, maybe he wasn't 100% blind. Maybe he's able like to make out dimly a person's appearance, whatever. Anyway, the point is. So he grabbed a hold of Rabbi Yeshua, like he gave him a hug or something, and had him sit on a golden couch in out of covet for him. He's an important Talmud Chacham. Then Rabbi Yeshua says, Rebbe, emor l'tamid cha'acha v'yeshiv. Please invite another Talmud of yours who is here to sit down as well. So Rabbi Dosa asked Mihu, who is the second Talmud Chacham, him I don't recognize. Omaloi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Yeshua introduces it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omaloi, so Rabbi Dosa is very surprised and pleasantly surprised. The Yeshle ben la Azariah chavirenu. Does our chaver Azariah have a son, a Talmud Chacham like this? Azariah had been, now you have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so obviously Azariah is his father. You actually find there's a Mishnah in Zvachim that mentions a Tana named Shimon Achi Azariah. This Azariah had a Yisachar Zvulun type arrangement with his brother Shimon. Shimon was learning Torah; he was the Yisachar, and Azariah was the Zvulun who was supporting him. So now, and he was fabulously rich. The Gemara mentions that he and Rabbi Elazar were both extremely rich, which the Gemara tells us in Brachas when they appointed Rabbi Elazar and Azariah. That was one of the factors they took into consideration. That if somebody needs to go and bribe the Romans and whatnot, then Rabbi Elazar will be able to do that. He has the resources to do that. Anyway, the point is that. So now Rabbi Dosa, again, he hadn't been in the Beis Medrash for years. He doesn't know what the latest is over there. So he's very pleased to hear, look at this. Our old friend Azariah, the great Zvulun, has a son, such a distinguished Talmud Chacham. Kara Olava Mikra Azeh, he applied to him the following pasuk, as it says in Tehillim, Nar ha yisi gamza kanti, I've been young and I've become old. Which means Marisha says, I was young when his father Azariah was alive. Now I'm old and I see his son. Veloida isi tzadik nezav. I've never seen a tzadik abandoned. Vezare mevakesh lochem, and that his children should have to be looking for bread. Which means, in other words, he's saying like this: I see that Azariah, the great Osher and the great supporter of Torah, has a great son now, Rabbi Elazar. An interesting point in the Yerushalmi, when it tells over the story, mentions another interesting detail as well. Rabbi Dosa says, I guess now that he saw Rabbi Elazar up close and he could recognize him a little better, he says, actually, I can recognize his eyes resemble those of Ezra. Now, Ezra was his 10th generation ancestor. So Ezra Sofer was a Kohen, of course, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is a Kohen as well. He was a 10th generation descendant of his. And Rabbi Dosa says, I can recognize that his eyes are like the eyes of his ancestor Ezra. So what does that mean? In fact, the Rambam takes the view that it means literally that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was that old. He was several hundred years old. He had actually seen Ezra in the flesh back in the day at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. And now at the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, or shortly after the Churban, he's able to recognize that Rabbi Elazar has the same eyes. On the other hand, they asked Rabbi Shrira Goin about this and another thing that we have further on in the story, where also he mentioned something from the second Beis Hamikdash, and they asked Rabbi Shrira, is it possible possible that Rabdosa really lived that long? And he says, no, the same way as, for example, so as far as the thing further on that he says something that I know, that Chagai Anovi, he says he had Kabbalah, the same way, for example, Rav Shura mentions, we in our yeshiva, he says, we can repeat over word for word certain conversations that were in our yeshiva over 150 years ago, because they're passed down from generation to generation, the exact wording. Al derech, like, you know, we have closer to our times, for example, you know, we have stories of the Rebbeim, for example, where, you know, where we're able to say that that this Rebbe said exactly this, and this chosid answered exactly that, and so forth. So the same kind of thing. As far as the eyes, I don't remember if Reb Shira says this, but somebody says maybe he had a picture of he had a painting of Ezra in his house. So therefore, now he's able to recognize that Reb Elazar ben Azariah has the same kind of eyes.
Shura?
Reb Shura Goin was one of the next to last Goin of Pumpadissa. He means like he's the leader of the Eda, yeah. Actually, the Meshech Chochma actually has a very interesting take on that as well, on the comparison to Ezra HaSofer. He says the same way as Ezra in his time worked very hard to spread Torah even among the lowliest of the Jews. You had, for example, the Jews who are intermarried and the Jews who are doing various other Averis, and he made tremendous efforts to bring up their level of knowledge. The same way he's saying, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, you're of the same caliber. We know from the story in Brachas, when Reb Elazar was appointed Nasi, they opened up the doors of the Beis Medrash and they said, unlike the policy under Rabbi Gamliel, where only those who are toichei kibbara, only those who's inside, only those whose pnimius matches the chitzonius can come and learn Torah. Reb Elazar ben Azariah, meanwhile, opened up the Beis Medrash and invited everybody to come in. So Reb Dosa is complimenting him. You're in a way, you have the same eyes, meaning you have the same mentality, the same way of bringing people close to Torah as your ancestor Ezra did. Anyway. So again, he grabbed a hold of Reb Elazar ben Azariah and had him sit also on a golden couch. Omerlei, then Reb Elazar ben Azariah says to him, Rebbe Emer l'tamid, or maybe Rabbi Yeshua says, Rebbe Emer l'tamid cha'acha v'yeshiv. Please invite another. There's another Talmud of yours here as well. Please invite him to sit down also. Omalei umihu, so Reb Dosa asks, who is that? Omalei, so he tells him, whichever one it was that was talking, says Akiva ben Yosef. Omalei, so Reb Dosa is also very impressed. Atahu Akiva ben Yosef, you are the famous Akiva ben Yosef, Shashimcha holach misofa olam ad sofa, where your name goes from one end of the world to the other. You're famous in the Jewish world. Shave beni shave, my son sit. Kamos chayu be Yisrael. May there be many more like you among Jewish people. Now you notice he didn't actually sit him on a golden chair like the other two, because first, after all, Rabbi Yeshua at least was Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Beis Din. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Nasi. The Rabbi Akiva is neither. As great as he is, as much as his name goes, Misofa Adaman Sofa, nevertheless, Reb Dosa kept protocol and didn't have him sit on the same kind of seats as them. When he says, Kamos Chayuba Yisrael, he's saying, Rabbi Akiva, you're descended from Gerim. May there be many more Tamid Chacham of your caliber from among the born Jews rather than that you'd have to come from among the Gerim. Rabbi Akiva himself was not a Ger. His father Yosef was a Ger, but he's descended from Gerim. Famously, he's descended from Sisra. Ion Yaakov says it could also be the other way around. Often we say, there's the expression in the Gemara in some places, Koshim Gerim the Yisrael, that Gerim are not always such a good thing for the Jewish people. But Reb Dosa is saying, in your case, Reb Akiva, it's a very good thing that you and your family have joined the Jewish people. An interesting thing, by the way, in the back of the Gemara, one of the Mefarshim Mitzpah Eson brings from Sfarim, The expression over here, misoif ha'olam va'ad soifoi, is gematria 564. That is the number of times that Rabbi Akiva is mentioned in Shas. Yeah. So he says also that elsewhere the Gemara also has a compliment to Rabbi Akiva, calls him oitzer bolum, like a well-stocked treasury. The gematria of that phrase equals 375, which is the number of times where the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva.
Looking to count that number, or they knew it already in
there? I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm sure that, I don't know. Anyway, Anyway, Kora Olav Mikra Zeh, and Reb Dosa applied to Reb Akiva the following pasuk: Tov Shem Mishemen Tov, a good name is better, a good name is better even than good oil. Like, as much as good oil has a fragrance and everybody knows about it, even Reb Akiva's name, who's famous throughout the Jewish world, is even better than that. Okay, so now that everybody's been introduced and now that everybody's been complimented, so now these three chachamim started discussing various halachas with Reb Doisa. Now remember, they had come in the first place in order to ask him about the Tzoras Habas business. But Maor Shaul says they didn't want to go directly to that, because if they do... Well, because here we learned yesterday that Rabbi Yeshua, when they asked him about it, he said, I don't want to get involved. Shema Yerutsu Gugolti. If they go straight to the topic, Rabbi Doisa might say the same thing. I don't want to get involved. So they started discussing other halachas, and then eventually they'll turn the conversation to that. And that way, kind of, they'll catch him off guard, sort of, as if. Okay. So eventually, Adshi Yigul at Tzoras Habas, until eventually they reached this issue of Tzoras Habas. Omro at Tzoras Habas Mahu. What is the din about Tzoras Habas? Does she do Yibum or not? It's a machlokas, you know that. So they ask him, halacha kedivrei mi? Well, who is the halacha like? He says, halacha kebeshilo. The halacha flat out is like beshilo. Omru loy, so they asked him, v'alim shimcha omru halacha kebeshamai. Aren't people saying in your name that the halacha is like beshamai? And that's why we came here, because we heard you're paskening like beshamai, and we found that very difficult. But now you're telling us you actually hold like beshilo, so is that rumor completely unfounded? Amalahem, so he answers them back. What did you actually hear? Doisa shmaitim or ben Horkinas shmaitim? Did you hear that Rab Doisa ben Horkinas gave this heter according to Beis Shammai? Or did you just hear that ben Horkinas said so? Omruloi, so they answered, Chaye Rebbe, we swear by our Rebbe's life, Stam Shamainu, we just heard Stam ben Horkinas. We figured, who else is ben Horkinas, if not you? Amalahem, so he tells them, Och Cotton Yeshli, I have a younger brother, B'chur Satan. He is a B'chur Satan, which is a phrase. Rashi explains it means he's chorif. Rashi explains it's an expression meaning chorif. He's very sharp, but oimid al shmuasei, and he's very firm in his opinions, and he does maisa, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the fact that the rabbi may be against him. He knows what's right, and he's gonna follow it through no matter what.
Hebrew, it's a very
bet course. Is it really? Okay. Anyway, but there are, with that said, there are a few other explanations and a few other girsais. First of all, in parenthesis over here, you can see instead of Satan, the word Shonun, which it may be. Maratz Chaya says, well, very well, it might have originally been Shonun, which means sharp, and then the Nun and the Vav were accidentally connected together and became a test. Another point is also actually Tosfos Yeshanim says an interesting point. He says that you find in a different Gemara that there's a place named Bur Satan or Kur Satan. So maybe when he says, I have a younger brother, Bur Satan, maybe the Bez is the prefix. I have a younger brother who lives in Kur Satan. Anyway, whatever the case, so who he is, the Yonason Shmoy, his name is Yonason. Now he's a younger brother of mine. So therefore he's also Ben Horkinas. Now he's from the Talmidim of Shammai, and when you heard that Ben Horkinas has Paskin like Beis Shammai, that was him, that wasn't me. But he tells them, "Vizaru boy, but be very careful around him, that he shouldn't go and cut you off and slug you up when it comes to discussions of halacha. He has no less than 300 proofs that Tzoras Habas is mutter like Beis Shammai. So I know all of you hold like Beis Hillel, which is why you came to me to ask what's going on. But you should know, you start up with him in halacha, you're going to get the worst. You're going to get the worst of it. By the way, we see something from this story over here. Now, fine, sometimes the Gemara uses 300 as a Lashon Guzma. It doesn't literally mean 300 and not 299, but still, it obviously means a very large number. Now, in the entire Gemara over here, in the sugyas up to here that I've discussed the opinion of Beis Shammai, the Gemara brings only two reasons behind their opinion. But here we see that this Rabbi Yonis ben Horkinas had many more. So you think about it; it makes you realize how much of the svaras of the Chachamim we are missing. We have whatever was written down for us in the Mishnayos and the Braises and the Gemara, but we have so much more information that was not written down that we don't have. And we don't have the ability to reconstruct it ourselves. It goes to show when we talk about, for example, when we say that the end of the Mishnah is a major watershed, is a major turning point in Jewish history, and the finishing of the Gemara is a major turning point in Jewish history. And after that, we have to paskin according to what it says in the Gemara. Part of it is based on this kind of consideration, because you have for any given halacha or any given svara in the Gemara, you may have dozens or hundreds of other svaras that we have no clue of even. So we see something in the Gemara where they paskin such and such, and we wonder, well, what's the logic? We should realize there's a lot more, there's layers and layers of logic behind it that we can't even begin to understand. Anyway, So Reb Doisa ben Hokinas continues. However, I want to tell you, I can bring heaven and earth as witness in my favor, to back up what I'm going to say. That Chagai HaNavi sat on this very meducha that I can show you here in my house. A meducha literally means a mortar, like you use it, it's like a big hollow container that you use to grind spices or small amounts of grain or things like that. Like, for example, the spices for the ketores were ground up in a meducha. But this is Chagai HaNavi saying, Chagai, one of the Navim at the beginning of the second Mishnah. So a meducha is typically used for grinding things, but you could also turn it upside down and use it as a makeshift seat. So he's saying that Chagai HaNavi sat on this very meducha, but almost shloisha dvarim, and he said three dinim, which he's going to quote, one of them being about Saras Abbas. Now, the point, again, you have in Reb Shruta's letter in this truva that he answered, somebody asked him, so how does Reb Doisa have a meducha? How does he know that 300, 400 years earlier, Chagai HaNavi sat on this meducha? So again, the Rambam takes the view that it means literally. It means that he was actually old enough to have known Chagai in person. If he knew Ezra in person, which the Rambam says, then Chagai was a contemporary of his. On the other hand, Reb Shruta says not necessarily. So again, the same way as he says, as we can quote verbatim conversations that happened in our yeshiva 100 and 150 years ago, the same way Reb Doisa can have very strongly the Kabbalah from his ancestors that he has this heirloom over here. He has this meducha that Chagai HaNavi sat on, and he still has it as an heirloom that was passed down in his family, and he's able to say very clear ages that this was the one. Anyway, so v'amash shloisha dvarim. So Chagai HaNavi sat on this. Now, by the way, a Navi doesn't have the right mitzad nevuah to say anything in halacha at all, but mitzad a Navi is always a great Talmid Chacham. So when we talk about Chagai HaNavi, we don't mean in his capacity as Navi, we mean in his capacity as one of the great Chachamim of his generation. Anyway, so he said v'amash shloisha dvarim. He taught three dinim while he was sitting on this meducha. First of all, Tzoras Abbas Asura, that Tzoras Abbas, which is the whole issue under discussion over here, is in fact Osir. So she's also, like this Hillel says, she's Osir to marry the surviving brother. Number two, Amun Umoyev Ma'astrim Masa Oni Bashvias. Number two, the halacha that Chagai said was that Jews who live in the countries of Amun and Moyev doing Shemitah. Now, in Eretz Yisrael proper, there's no Trumas and Maestras doing Shemitah. You have 2 years of Maestro Sheni, then a year of Maestro Oni, then again 2 years of Maestro Sheni and a year of Maestro Oni. Then comes Shemitah, and there's no Trumas and Maestras at all because everything is Hefker. In Amun and Moyev, you don't have the dinim of Shvias. So Chagai said that in places like that, instead what they do is during Shavuos, they give Maisa Oni, which in fact was a machloikas of the Chachamim of Reb Doisa ben Hokinas' times. It's recorded in Mishnayos Edius, where there's a machloikas between Reb Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, whether they should be giving Maisa Sheni or Maisa Oni. So now Reb Doisa ben Hokinas says, I can tell you that Chagai HaNavi said they give Maisa Oni. What do we mean by Amun and Moyev in this context? Rashi explains it means the parts of the areas that used to belong to Sichon and Oig, and that used to belong to Amun and Moyev, and then Sichon and Oig conquered them from them. And as we know, the Jewish people are not allowed to attack Amun and Moyev, but they were allowed to conquer it from Sichon and from Oig, which they did. And then Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe over there settled over there. But those places now, during the time of the second Beis Mikdash, those places don't have the same kedusha anymore. In a number of places, we have a distinction in halacha between the places between the places that were settled by Oile Mitzrayim when they came out of Mitzrayim and entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua versus Oile Bavel, the smaller areas that were resettled by the Jews who came to build the second Beis Mikdash, which was a much smaller area. So these areas that used to belong to Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, now these areas were not so heavily settled by Jews in the time of the second Beis Mikdash, therefore they didn't have their Kedusha, and therefore now any Jews who are living there, they're not keeping Shemitah Midrabbanan, they have to give Truma and Maisa there, and so sort of Doisa is saying that you should know that Chagai said the Maisa, the second type of Maisa that they give in that year of Shemitah is Maisa Oni. With the idea being, Rashi says, the reason why the Chachamim did that is this way. During Shemitah, poor people in Eretz Yisrael don't have very much to eat because there's only svichim, there's only things that are growing on their own. So they have to sometimes go to nearby places to find. So like this, they go to the fields in Amun and Moab, and they find their leket, shikha, peya, the various matnas aniyim. And while they're at it, they can also pick up Maisa Oni. So therefore, the Chachamim found it practical to say that they should give Maisa Oni over there, as opposed to the Mishnah in in Aetius describes in further away places such as Egypt and and Babel. There they also have a takana to give Truma and Meiser every year, but there instead they would give Meiser Sheni during Shemitah. Anyway, so that was the second din that Chaga said. Tosfos discusses it at some length. It's not printed here in Ein Yaakov, it's printed in the Gemara, and says that maybe not, maybe actually the areas of Ammon and Moav we're referring to over here are actually the areas that all along belonged to Ammon and Moav that were never conquered by the Jewish people in the first place. Anyway, so that was the second din. And the third one, Umakablan Gerim Mina Kauduyim Umina Talmudim. The third thing that Chaga and Novi said, says Reb Dosa, while he was sitting on this meducha, is that we're allowed to accept Gerim from the nations of Kauduyim and Talmudim. The chiddush of that is, as the Gemara is going to discuss in the next piece, there was a concern that there might be Jewish mamzerim mixed in among them. And then if a poor person becomes a ger from them, he might actually be a mamzer, and then he's going to intermarry into the Jewish people, and it's going to cause problems. So Chagai Novi said, and Reb Dosa ben Hokinas is quoting him, that's not a problem. So those are the three halachos that Chagai said sitting on this meducha. Ion Yaakov makes an interesting point. Why does he have to mention all three of them in one shot? And why does he have to say the number three? The gist of his explanation is that a chacham should not be so quick to be matir three things one after the other. A chacham, a rav, sometimes is going to be matir things, sometimes is going to aser things, but he shouldn't be matir three things in close succession. So here, the first thing that he says, tzora sabas asura, when you think about it, could be understood either of two ways. It could mean she's also to marry the surviving brother, because she'd be an erva to him. It could mean fakertu, it could mean Beth Shammai would say, you know what, it means asura, she's also to marry anybody else until she does chalitza or yibum. But that would amount to a kula, basically, that would amount to a kula, kind of, that she could do yibum, and her children, if she does, are not going to be a mamzerim, unlike Beth Hillel holds. Therefore, if he meant that, he would be matir, he would be saying that three things are mutter, and then he'd be matir three things, and that would be inappropriate. So therefore, we have to understand that tzora sabas asura means she's also to do yibum, which is a chumrah, so therefore he has one chumrah and two kolos, and that's fine. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tana, now we learn in a braisa, Shenichnesu, these three chachamim who had visited Reb Dosa, Reb Yeshua, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, and Reb Akiva, when they came into his house, Nichnesu b'Pesach Echad, they all came through one door. But when they went out, Yotzu was Shlosha Psachim. They went out through three different doors. Now, why did they do that? Tosfos gives two explanations. One is now that Reb Dosa had warned them, you should know my younger brother Yonason is a very sharp guy and he might best you in halachas. So now one possibility, Tosfos says they left by three different doors so that they can evade him, so that he doesn't find all of them together and start slogging them up. The other possibility, Tosfos says, is maybe the other way around. Vakeh, they figured the more doors we go out, the more chance we'll have to meet him. One of us will meet him, and then he can call the other two, and then we can hash the whole thing out with him. Marshall says a third possibility as well. When they came, they had no choice for Rabbi Yeshua to go in first, because Rabbi Yeshua is the only one of them whom Reb Dosa would recognize. Again, the other two he didn't recognize until they were introduced to him. But really, the Nasi should go ahead of the Abbasin. But they don't want to leave. So now when they're leaving, it shouldn't be that they should go out in the same order that they did. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua went out through a different door, so he doesn't end up going after Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which wouldn't be respectful. And the same thing with Rabbi Akiva, since he's Godol b'chokhmah, since he's so great that his name extends me so far, Olam so far, it wouldn't be right for him to follow them, so therefore he used a different door. Okay, well, Pogaboy b'Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Yonason met up with Rabbi Akiva. The door that Rabbi Akiva went out of was he met up with Rabbi Yonason. Actually, and he started asking him the questions on this point for Oikme, and eventually Rabbi Yonason was able to stop Rabbi Akiva. He used one. He used various ones. It was 300 proofs, and Rabbi Akiva had to admit, you know what, I taka don't have a logical answer to your proofs. Doesn't mean that he's going to change his mind in the halacha, but nevertheless, you're right. You seem to have a very solid proof, and I have nothing to say to it. Omaloi, so Rabbi Yonasan asks him also, after who Akiva, Shashimcha Holach Misofa Ulamad Sofa, are you the Akiva whose name goes from one end of the world to the other, the same expression that his brother Rabbi Dosa had used? You should know, Ashrecha Shazachita Lashem, you should be very, consider yourself very fortunate that you've been Zoicha to a good name like that, but you should know, Vadayan Lohi Gaita Leroya Boker. Really, you haven't even reached the level of a cowherd yet, of a person who takes care of cows. In other words, basically, he's saying that the fact that I was able to slug you up and you don't have an answer means you're not quite where you should be as a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Akiva did not get offended. He answered, "Vafilu l'roi etzoyin." You know what? I'm not even as good as a shepherd. Now, Poshet Pshat is, in other words, he's saying, like, you know, you're gonna put me down. Don't worry, I'm not offended by it. Adrab, all the more so. In fact, one of the Mefarshim, I think Maratz Chayus, says we find in other Gemaras, we find in Sanhedrin, for example, that Roye Boker, cowherds, are usually kosher la'edus. We don't usually suspect them of grazing their animals in other people's fields. Mashenkin Roye Tzoyin, we do. Roye Tzoyin are usually considered gazlonim and posel la'edus. This week's parasha, we have, for example, that, you know, that Avraham took special care to have his animals muzzled so they don't eat in other people's fields, and Loit didn't, and that caused the whole argument. So therefore, according to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Akiva is saying, sort of Yonason is saying, you're no better than a Roye Boker, and Rabbi Akiva says, you know what, I understand, I'm not even like a Roye Tzoyin, who are actually even on a lower level than the Roye Boker. On the other hand, Marsha takes it in a whole different way. Now, we just said that Rabbi Doisa had said to the three Chachamim that you should know, I learned from Chagai HaNavi that he said that Soras Habas is also. Now, Rabbi Yonason is telling him, you know what, that's fine, but you should know something. That, fine, Chagai said this, but Chagai is one of the last Nevi'im. He and Zechariah and Malachi were the three Nevi'im at the end of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. When they passed away, Nevuah was gone. So he's telling him, fine, you're telling me that my older brother, Rabbi Doisa, has a Kabbalah from the later Nevi'im, but you should know something. What about the earlier Nevi'im? What about, you don't even have a Kabbalah that can be traced back to the earlier Nevi'im. For example, there was the Navi Amos, who describes himself. At one point, there's a priest of Avodah Zarah who tries to challenge Amos and tells him, nobody needs you, Nevuah, so get out of here. And Amos tells him, don't worry, I'm not afraid of you. He says, Ki boiker anoichi. He says, literally, it means I'm a cow. Herd. Elsewhere, the Gemara explains doesn't really mean. It means that he owned a lot of cattle, but still, the poshut meaning of the pasuk is saying that I'm a cowherd that actually take care of cows. So now Rabbi Yonason is hinting to Rabbi Akiva, "Va'adayin lo higaita l'roye boker. Your Kabbalah reaches only as far as the last Nevi'im, such as Chagai, that you got from my brother. It doesn't reach further back, for example, to Amos, and Amos may well have held differently. So, in fact, also he points out that the Medrash mentions in a number of places that Amos was similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was kvad per kvad loshet. He couldn't speak clearly. In that very pasuk, by the way, when Amos says to this Amatzia, the false prophet over there, he tells him, "I'm not afraid of you. You should know ki boker anoichi." He says, "Uvoyleis shikmin." I'm a boilesh of shikma trees. Now, the normal word, the Medrash says, would be boilesh, which means that I check them to see whether the fruit is growing well. So, but he had a speech defect and he couldn't pronounce a shin properly, so he said boilesh instead. Now, the Medrash mentions in a number of places that point that almost was not able to speak clearly. So Yonason is saying, you know what? So you don't have a Kabbalah that goes as far back as Amos, and maybe what it is even if you do, even if you can claim that Chagai himself learned it from his Rebbe, who learned it from his Rebbe, going at least back as far back as Amos, you know what maybe happened? Because Amos has the speech defect, maybe his Talmidim misunderstood him, and that resulted in a wrong Kabbalah that's been transmitted throughout the generations. So Rabbi Akiva answers him back, I feel the royal sign. And the Kabbalah goes back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a shepherd. He was also kvad peh. What are you going to tell me, that anything we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu is also suspect because Moshe couldn't speak clearly? Chas v'shalom. So if you can't deny what we learned ish mipi ish back to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't start going and denying things that we might have learned ish mipi ish back to Amos.
According to that, why is Yonason able to?
How is Yonason able to keep his opinion? So. So in the next piece of Gemara, actually, where we have another thing that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with one of these three dinim of Chagai, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yochanan may hold that no, it's not correct. Chagai did not actually say this. As far as Yonasan, it might also be. He might be disagreeing with his brother on the facts. But again, there's also the possibility, again, when he said Sara Sabasa Sura, that itself can be taken in two different ways. It can mean she's also to marry the surviving brother, or it can mean she's also to marry without doing Chalitza. So therefore, so Rabbi Yonasan could say very well, of course Chagai said this, but you, Rabbi Doisa, are misunderstanding what Chagai meant.
Moshe Rabbeinu was not healed at Har
Sinai. He was, maybe, but still. So he also taught dinim to the Jewish people before Matan Torah, even. But yeah.
Kabbalah L'Moshe Mishinai is something that everybody accepts.
When we have something that's known to be Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, then yes, everyone accepts that. The Rambam makes a point of that in his introduction to Pirush HaMishnayos. When we have something which is known to be Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, nobody's going to argue with it. But what you have is sometimes there'll be a machlokas whether something is Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai or not. Yeah. But in this case over here, Rabbi Akiva is not actually saying that we necessarily have a Kabbalah all the way on this particular din from Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's saying that the same way as you're not going to question anything we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Klad Peh, don't start questioning anything, even if we can only trace it back as far as Omos. Okay, so now, one of the dinim that we said that Chagai had said was that we're allowed to accept Gerim from Kauduye and Talmudim. So now the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about that point. Rabbi Yochanan v'Savaya Amri Tavayu. Rabbi Yochanan and the elders, meaning the other elder Talmud Chachamim of his times, they both say, "Ein mekablim gerim min haTalmudim." We're not allowed to accept gerim from the people of Talmud. Now again, so Tosfos asks, how could he argue with a Kabbalah that goes back to Chagai? So Tosfos says, maybe Rabbi Yochanan held that Chagai did not in fact say this, that Rabbi Doisa had made a mistake. I mean, that would work better, really, according to Rabbi Shura's explanation, that Rabbi Doisa himself hadn't personally heard Chagai say this. He had a Kabbalah from his ancestors that he did, so in that case, there might have been some confusion along the way. According to the Rambam, that Rabbi Doisa himself personally heard Chagai say this is a little harder, but okay. Anyway, now, why is that? What's wrong with the Talmudim? Now, Rabbi Yochanan and the elder Chachamim have both said this din, but the reason behind it, they argue what it is. One says because there were slaves of Shloima, Avodim Knanim of Shloima, that lived there, and they had married Jewish women. What happened was there were Jewish women who were attracted to these Avdei Shloima because of their wealth, because after all, Shloima was fabulously wealthy. Whoever worked for him was also. So there were some Jewish women that were attracted to that wealth. So now what happened was, and Talmud, we find part the city of Talmud itself, nowadays it's called Palmyra. It's a city in Syria, not far from Iraq. It has a lot of fascinating ancient ruins over there. Anyway, the Pasuk mentions that it was one of the cities that was part of Shloima's kingdom, and he built up. So now many of these Avdei Shloima settled over there. So now they settled there with their Jewish wives. Now, the opinion, the Chad Omar holds that if a Goy or an Eved has relations with a Bas Yisrael, that their children are considered Mamzerim. Now, the Halacha is not like that. The Halacha is that the child is kosher or their pogrom. But nevertheless, this opinion holds that they're mamzerim. Well, therefore, so any yid who comes from any person who comes from Talmud, and you don't know whether he's actually a yid and is just assimilated among the goyim, he might actually be a mamzer. He's going to become a ger. He's not really a ger because he's a born yid. He's going to end up marrying into the Jewish people, and then you're going to have mamzerim proliferate.
Can you say that about somebody that might be
So we're going to learn more about it tomorrow. Beis Hashem. But yeah, in brief, according to this opinion, you have enough of these cases that happen in Talmud that therefore we have to put all of them off limits to Gerus. The other one said it's because of women who were captured from Yerushalayim, as the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines, at the time of the Churban, and who were forced into marriages or rapes or whatever by the Goyim. Same problem, in other words, because again, their children have Goyish fathers, and according to that opinion, those children would be mamzerim. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim lamanda omer mishum avdei shloima." I understand if it's a matter of Shloima's servants, then that's the problem. Kasavra, because that opinion holds. Akum ve'eved abar bas yisrael avlan mamzer. That again, if a goy or an eved has relations with bas yisrael, the child is a mamzer. So therefore, the children of these avdei shloima and Jewish women, according to that opinion, would be considered mamzerim. Elamanda omer mishum v'nois yerushalayim maihi. What do we mean because of the women of Yerushalayim? So Pligi bar Rabbi Yosef, Rav Kahana over Rabbanon. So within that opinion of Benoist Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yosef and Rav Kahana, or Rabbi Yosef and the Rabbanon, disagree exactly what happened. They both agree that it was at the time of the Churban, but how exactly it happened, they argue. One says that there were 12,000 men from Goyish men who invaded Yerushalayim at that time, Vishita Alfi Kashturi, plus 6,000 bowmen. So according to that, there were 18,000 soldiers altogether, 12,000 foot soldiers and 6,000 bowmen. The other one says Tresa Alfa Gavri Uminayu Shita Alfi Kashturi. The other one says it was 12,000 soldiers, of whom 6,000 carried bows. Anyway, when the Goyim at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon entered the Heichal, Hakol Nifnu Al Kesef Hazahav, everybody else, all the other Goyim, all the other Goyish soldiers were looking for plunder of gold and silver. Veheim Nifnu Al Bnos Yerushalayim, these 12 or 18,000 Goyish soldiers, they were going and looking for women of Yerushalayim to rape them. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, in Eicha Noshim B'tzion Inu, they raped women in Tzion, Besulis Ba'ora Yehuda, and Besulis in the rest of the cities of Yehuda. So therefore, the result is these Bnos Yerushalayim, some of them at least had children from these, and again, according to that opinion, these children are Mamzerim, and therefore the result is that you can't, according to that opinion, you can't accept Gerim from Talmudim, because you have that problem that among them there are mamzerim, and you can't pick out who the mamzerim are from among the kosher Jews. Meanwhile, we said before, according to Chagai HaNavi, it would be allowed. The halacha is it is allowed. The Gemara goes on to discuss. We'll learn a little more about it tomorrow, Best Hashem. But in the end, the halacha is basically that we can accept gerim from pretty much everywhere, and we don't have an issue with that.
What bowmen?
What bowmen means people who carry bows, but people who shoot bows and arrows. With that said, actually, you do have nowadays a somewhat similar issue with the Jews with the Ethiopian Jews, where you have some when they started coming in numbers to Eretz Yisrael, and you have the concern. On the one hand, they're Jews; on the other hand, they didn't keep Torah Shabbat Peh, at least not the way that we know it. So there was a real question as far as their yichus, if there's any people over there, if there's any people among them who might be mamzerim. I believe the consensus of the poskim was any geirus l'chumra, and we don't have to worry about the mamzerus. But there are as usual. As usual in Jewish opinion, there are different opinions. As usual in Judaism, there are different opinions about it. Okay. Yomim Mashiach Ugo'ola, Gimel Cheshvan. So we're at the end of the period of Golos, and there's no question, it's absolutely definite, without even the slightest shadow of a suffix, that we're already at the time of the Gola, as Chazal have said, Kolu Kola Kitzin, which I think I've mentioned before, literally Kolu Kola Kitzin, in the sense that I don't know of any sefer that says any ketz as late as where we are, Tavshin Pehei. So it's literally Kolu Kola Kitzin. So we realize from that then that the continuation of the Avodah after that, as long as Mashiach Tzidkenu was delayed for some inexplicable reason, at this point it's not Avodah Sabirurim, because Avodah Sabirurim has already been accomplished. The Rebbe says this in a couple of sichas in early noon days, yeah. Okay. Continuing with dinim of bathing on Shabbos. When a person does bathe on Shabbos or go into water for whatever reason, such as the mikveh, and we talked about yesterday, again, there are poskim who don't really like the idea of going into hot mikvahs, although some of them allow it, some of them say only it can only be lukewarm, etc. Anyway, whatever the case, if a person does bathe in a way that's mutter on Shabbos, he has to be careful not to squeeze out his hair. You're also not allowed to swim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And for that matter, even when you're going to the mikveh, you basically go in and out as fast as possible. You can't spend any extra time in there because that would already be gzeres mechitz. You're also not allowed to make anything float on the water. If, in addition, you're in a place where it's also to carry, for example, you're going to go into a river or something on Shabbos, then you also have to dry yourself off as much as possible so that you're not going to carry from Rishus to Rishus. And even within the river itself, you can't go four amos because the river itself is going to be a caramelous.
People, you're carrying the water on.
You're carrying the water on you.
Cannot squeeze it out, so you basically.
So you have to grab a towel, basically, and so. So therefore, so the minig in general is not to bathe at all on Shabbos, even in cold water, only with sardach mitzvah. So for example, a woman goes to mikvah Friday night, or a man for keri. So therefore, we do have the minig of going to the mikvah Shabbos. If a person goes during the week, then he goes on Shabbos also. But you still do have to be careful about all these very inside a mikvah. You don't have the issue of carrying, of course, but you do have the issue of squeezing out your hair, and you do also have the issue that we talked about yesterday, that you can't stand in front of a heater, let's say, with the water on you, because then you're going to be heating up the water on Shabbos.
You heat up the water on Shabbos.
Well, no, but you also have Xeder that you're not supposed to bathe in water that was heated on Shabbos. So you have maybe a special heter as far as going to the mikveh, because you're not primarily doing it for the sake of bathing, but nevertheless, if afterwards, yeah.
Good.